Interesting thing for any church, especially those that have activities on a Sunday. Okay, so I know a couple churches with evening worship services. Do we cancel those? Do we keep those going? What do? I know some churches with youth group activities or book clubs and other things. And, you know, it's a day where it's, you know, well, let's let everybody watch the game because we know they're not going to show up anyway. It's an interesting thing. And so there's always an opportunity. This is the piece. There's an opportunity because there's energy and excitement. Maybe you've noticed it. Has anybody noticed a little bit of energy and excitement in the city of Denver? How many billboards? Dear goodness, the Facebook pages, the flags, the cars, the Channel 9 clingy thingies? When did that become a thing? So much energy. I think it's fair to say that Broncos fever has reached its pitch, and that's an amazing thing. I love watching it, and there's something fun about watching one person in an orange shirt bump into someone else they don't know in an orange shirt, and they're like, hey, yeah, sports same team. It's amazing. You meet at the grocery store, and you watch folks who are like, go Broncos. Yeah, go Broncos. You watch people in traffic waving at each other to the person that's got, you know, number 18 written on the side of their car. I mean, it's amazing. Suddenly there's this, like, connection, because we're all supporting the Broncos. You know, and it's amazing to watch this deep connection that builds from the energy and everybody focusing on something together. It happens at other occasions as well. There are other times something bigger will sort of unite a whole group of people. We've watched it happen. Often after a tragedy, we'll see the same thing. It's nice to see it after something wonderful. But then there's this time afterwards where things start to fade a little bit. Right? We're all united in orange. And then when the Broncos, you know, they win, we're going to be united in orange. And then in about a week, there'll still be some orange shirts, maybe some of those brand new Super Bowl champion shirts. And people are like, hey. And in a month, people aren't greeting each other the same. Everybody isn't as excited. Suddenly, you don't notice that a person's got the Bronco clingy thingy from Channel 9 in their window. You're just like, they cut me off. And it's all different. What do we have to show for all of this when all of this is gone? That's the question that I wrestle with when we see these amazing moments of energy and excitement in a city. All the orange, all the team spirit. Oh, they're renaming mountain peaks, for goodness sakes. Every Bronco got their own 14er. What do we have when all this is gone? I don't know about you, but I want something more. This is where our food drive comes from. For those that hadn't heard, what we did is the night that the Broncos had won the division and then the Seahawks won, put a note on Facebook that just said, any churches in Seattle want to make this interesting? You know, we could do a little church-on-church food drive. To be honest, that's how it was going to start. It was going to be our congregation versus a congregation in Seattle. We'd sort of do some fun stuff in worship, and we'd see which church got more food. It was going to be simple. It's going to be easy. It was neither. Because people started hopping on so quickly. Suddenly it was, well, I've got all the churches in Seattle that want to do this. We've got 12. And I said, fine, I can get 12. And they were like, well, we have 18. I'm like, fine, I've got 27. And I chatted with my counterpart who's probably preaching about the same thing this morning, except her sermon's United in Blue. Okay. We were talking and we said, here's the deal. We keep getting these requests. Can we be a part of this? And you know what you don't say? You don't say no to people that want to help others. So things grew. We have over 80 different congregations supporting Team Denver. They've got over 90 of them up. I know. We've got churches in Wyoming, Utah, Montana, South Dakota, Wisconsin, Georgia. These are just the ones on our team. No, and I was getting there. I was building to something. And yes, if you haven't heard, Peyton has this habit of hauling out Omaha to get things really going. And so we called Omaha. And right now, in worship in Omaha, Nebraska, there are Methodist churches who have opened their doors and their communities are pouring in canned goods as well. This has been amazing to watch develop. It's been absolutely fantastic. We did take a halftime report. Last Monday, we got some numbers from some folks. I only heard from 20 churches. You know, not everybody's like, they're like, we're counting next week. We're not counting twice. I was like, okay. 20 churches we had at the time. We had over 10,000 items turned in. Now, interestingly enough, and we never released the Seattle number because, well, they only heard from 6 churches and they're like, hey, we've got 1,000 items. I was like, my congregation did over 1,000 items. Anyway, not that it's competitive. Everybody wins. But it's been interesting to watch this build. We put out a note, and before you know it, Channel 9 was promoting it on the morning show. Channel 4, Channel 7, Channel 31. People have been sharing. People have been giving. It was amazing. We have several of us watched a nice person pull up, drop off 3 boxes of food this morning. Well, I'm on my way to my church, but you're my drop-off site. Have a good morning. This is community. This is what we do. Like I said, if there's all this energy going on, I want something more. It started with a simple question, but what we're finding is a very big answer. I am a very firm believer that the world is full of goodness and generosity. It's just waiting for an invitation. And we're in the invitation business. I've often talked about seeing Highlands United Methodist Church as a matchmaker. There are those who have opportunity, and there are places of need, and it's our job to help connect them. That's what we do. That's what we do for our neighborhood and for this world. We play matchmaker. And you know what? A lot of those folks that we play matchmaker with may never sit in one of these pews. And you know what? That's fine. Because they're out there doing the work where we all want to be out there doing the work. That's where it really happens. This is where we come to gain support and to celebrate, but we do the work together out there. And we do it with our neighbors and our co-workers and our friends. We help connect opportunities and needs so that people can be a part of those moments. What's been interesting is this food drive in the last 2 weeks, as it's just gotten bigger and more public, I suddenly realized that this is an amazing opportunity for us as a congregation, as a denomination, as people of faith. It's an amazing opportunity for us to help rebuild the church's reputation. I mean that with a capital C, the church. So that people can know what we're really about. News stories about churches, man, they're not my favorite. The things that come up, the issues that get brought up. The Methodist Church has been in the news for defrocking pastors and kicking folks out and saying no to people's love in this world. That's not how I want the Methodist Church represented in this world. So we do something about it. This is how people should know the church. As a group of folks that help people. Because that's what we do. This is what we do. We can reestablish the church in the world as a place of action. There's a wonderful quote I put on my Facebook page that made it into a couple other things that, you know, running food drives, meeting basic needs, and wearing team colors. Is that church? Darn right it is. This is what church is about. It's about caring for folks and helping folks and reaching out and building relationships. This is what we do. It's important that love makes as many headlines in this world as anything else. And that's because Jesus asked us to do that. In no uncertain terms. I love Jesus' words in Matthew, where he's specifically talking with folks in names. You saw me hungry, and you fed me. It's amongst a much larger scripture as Jesus speaks of the least of these. Those who are sick, or in prison, or thirsty, or forgotten, or ill, or hungry. And Jesus tells folks, when you take care of those people, you're taking care of me. Jesus specifically names caring for the hungry as one of our Christian responsibilities. This isn't some generic, oh, go help people umbrella. Right? Because then we're like, okay, sure, we'll help people. It's this nebulous idea. We'll go. We were specifically asked by Jesus to feed hungry people. So that's what we're going to do. Food is a basic human need. Food is universal. It's something we all know. There's not a lot of things in this world anymore that feel so universal. Our experiences are so fragmented, and there's lots of ways we know the world, but food is universal. We all eat meals. Or should I say, we all need to eat meals. Food may be universal, but not all of us know hunger. But there are those who do. Did you know that 1 out of 9 children in the United States of America is food insecure? That's the term that's used these days to describe a household or an individual who doesn't have consistent access to enough food to maintain an active and healthy lifestyle. 1 out of 9 kids in the U.S. We're not even talking global numbers. In the U.S. In fact, in Colorado, 1 in 4 households with children report having a hard time providing food for their children in the last 4 years. One out of four households with children are having a hard time providing food for their family. Do you know that Colorado has one of the fastest growing rates of childhood poverty? Over 2002 to 2010, Colorado saw an 86% increase in child poverty. This is unacceptable. This is unacceptable. Jesus asked us to feed people. Jesus asked us to go out into the world and be active and to care and to love and build relationship through those opportunities. I don't know about you, but sometimes I hear numbers and statistics like that and it just feels like it's so big I don't even know where to start. Well, we start here. We start here. How can we make an issue on a difference that's so big? We must find something bigger to be a part of. We've got to be united in something that's bigger than orange. I was reminded of a verse in Romans this week where Paul writes and says, "May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you unity with each other as Christ had, so that with one mind and one voice you might glorify God in heaven." We can be united in something so much bigger. Being united in God's spirit of love and justice makes us bigger than hunger and poverty. Being united in God's spirit of love and reconciliation makes us bigger than the divide between those that have enough and those that do not. And that unity in action, lets us glorify God with one mind and one voice. That's what we're doing, folks. We're speaking God's word of hope through every can, through every box, through every dollar. Because it isn't just about the food. It isn't just about the food at all. I mentioned a couple times this week with folks, I've gotten really good at sound bites, by the way. But this one really hit home with me. When Peyton Manning steps onto that field today, he knows there is an entire city and then some of folks who are supporting and rooting for him. That's got to feel good, right? To step out on a field and know there are millions of people all rooting for you. It's my hope that an event like this, a food drive like this, love in action like this, will let every single mom who doesn't know where their kid's next meal is coming from, every single retired senior who the checks aren't coming often enough to fill the pantry, that person who's in between jobs and just can't find one, you know how long the list can be. That every single person that needs a meal knows that there's a huge group of people supporting and caring about them. They deserve that kind of attention and energy and support even more than anybody who puts on a uniform today. This is what we're about. And it's a very spiritual thing for me. This isn't just, yeah, we need to raise some food because it's a good story. We do it because Jesus asked, and we do it because it changes us. When we think about communion and the story, so we go through this every month, and you'll hear me say, on the night on which Jesus gave himself for, you know, the words. Well, I want to think about that story with you for a minute. Because we can hear the words, and we can see the bread, and not always think about what's really going on. Communion has three essential parts. And bread and juice aren't two of them. Communion has three essential parts. The first thing Jesus did was gather together with people. The next thing Jesus did was share a meal. And the third thing Jesus did was say, "Show my love to the world." Those are the three things that make communion, communion. Gathering together with people, sharing a meal, and remembering Christ's love. We've had a few folks gather this week. We've had a lot of folks gather this week. We've had thousands upon thousands of folks gather this week in multiple states, in multiple cities, all over the place. Now, when it comes to sharing a meal, I think there's going to be a lot of meals to share. They may not be bread and they may not be juice, but there are going to be meals shared. And when it comes to the idea of remembering Christ's love and sharing it with the world, that's what we're doing. I believe that food drives are a form of communion. Jesus took and said, "This is my love given for you." Well, this is what we're doing. When we're united in something bigger than orange, we are saying, "This is God's love given for you to be shared with all." And Jesus took that cup and Jesus said, "This is God's love poured out to remind you there is nothing that can separate you from all that God offers." I'm proud to say that the food collected in this food drive is going to local food banks in every single neighborhood in which it's collected. There are no restrictions, there are no rules, there is no statement of belief, there is no certain profile that has to be met to receive it. This is food for people who need it, just like this is God's love for people who need it. And that is what we share in. Would you pray with me? God, pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and juice and mac and cheese and canned tuna and beans and rice and Cheerios and all of it. That this food might be a symbol of your love offered to the world that we're invited to share in. May it be so that the world might know your love and know that we are all united together. Amen.